13 13 32 is our telephone number. Lively discussion coming up with the Jelly Bean Lady. Might want to talk to her. And our special guest. We've got a couple of guests tonight with the Jelly Bean Lady. And she joins us right now, and Loretta Marin. But just before we cross over to Loretta in the, when I say cross over, she's here in the studio. We've had lots of emails in relation to this segment. The Jelly Bean Lady was great emails. Fred Thornett. He said, can we have more of them? Perhaps a few others who can give an unbiased opinion about the scams that pose as therapies. There's too much snake oil and nonsense in chemist shops these days. All the adverts for quacks offering alternatives to medicine are a real worry. Sick, desperate and gullible people are wasting hundreds of millions of dollars on quack remedies. I despair when I think of all the ordinary people who have been conned by the sellers of so-called complementary medicines. Most of the potions on sale are health supplements, just tabletized or powdered foodstuffs being sold up to $800 a kilo. For example, anyway, it goes on about that. I won't mention that right at the moment, but we will get to it. I enjoy listening to Loretta last Saturday. This is from Rosemary. I don't know where she's from. I'll tune in again next Saturday. She says she increasingly is invaded by new age mumbo jumbo and expensive useless remedies. I'm a senior citizen getting incensed by the advertising in seniors' mags. And out of Canada, too. Hey, Twyla Gill. Nice of you to be with us again tonight, I hope. It's sad to that I have to find a radio station halfway across the world to enjoy, but at least I can find one that is a guest like the Jelly Bean Lady in all this world. Finally, a station that doesn't cater to what they figure is popular. I only hope the Jelly Bean Lady and Common Sense do become more popular. So please keep her on the air. Well, certainly we'll keep her on the air. And here she is now. Good evening, Jelly Bean Lady.
Oh, good evening, Tony. It's great to be back again.
International fan club, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
How good is that?
It's absolutely wonderful. I might become the international Jelly Bean Lady soon.
You might become a treasure, but we'll get to the word treasure in just a moment. But let's start off, first of all, by finding out what is a drug.
Well, Tony, anything you put into your body that changes the way your body works is a drug. It can be from a test tube or it can be from a plant. In fact, you can even get it from the beach. You can dig it out of the ground. All sorts of different places drugs come from, and people seem to be trying them all.
So we're all taking drugs then?
We certainly are.
And we some are better than others for us.
Oh, well, yes, and some are downright dangerous to us as well.
That's what we've got to try and clear up. Now, Dr. Treasure is here in the studio as well, and we say Dr. Treasure, that's the first name. I just thought I should add that. I know you get this all the time, that people might think, oh, Dr. Treasure, I don't know Dr. Treasure. That's your first name. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
And you're a pharmacologist and assistant director of pharmacy at the Mater and co-joint lecturer in the School of Pharmacy at the University of Queensland. So we want to try and sort out tonight some of the things that people are taking. Some of those emails I just read out are fairly typical, I suppose, of how gullible and vulnerable we all are.
That's right. Yeah. I guess we tend to think that anything that's natural is safe, and hopefully by the end of the show we'll show you that natural is not synonymous with safe.
And works, too. And that's the other thing we're looking for, aren't we?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a bit of a battle, is it? Or are we just silly or stupid? Or why do we buy so much junk?
I think it's because we have to have hope. And sometimes the things that our doctors, our health professionals give us don't do what we expect them to do, don't work as well as we'd like, and we sometimes forget that we've got chronic diseases that drugs just aren't going to cure, and we go looking for alternatives.
So it's pretty hard to find a pharmacist, I suppose, who... let's turn it around another way and talk to a pharmacist. Ian Carr. Now, he's the Aussie country town pharmacist with a clear conscience. How does he differ from other pharmacists? And he won't sell anything he doesn't believe in. So let's find out what a clear conscience in terms of a pharmacist is. And Ian Carr, you're out in Taree, aren't you, Ian?
G'day, Tony. How are you? I am down in Taree, New South Wales.
Yes. Good on you. Nice part of the world.
We like it here. I've been here a long time.
Now let's talk about your clear conscience. We can't see it from here on the radio. So how do you define your clear conscience? And is that appropriate for you, do you think?
Well, when I first came into the pharmacy industry some 20-odd years ago, I realised that there were so many fads and so much stuff coming out of the various, you know, vitamin and mineral factories and things like that, that I just became, you know, absolutely bedazzled by it myself. And then a few years back, we just realised that we actually had the tools to investigate the latest positions and the latest science on all of these things, and my outlook has become simply that I try and treat my patients as and give them the same advice that I would my very best friend. what, honestly, is this thing going to do for me? Is it going to be of any use, or is it going to cause a problem with some of my regular medication?
All right, so I come in to see you and I say, Ian Carr, I've got a gut ache. What do you reckon?
Well, that's a totally different thing. There are medicines that I know that are going to work for you. You know, something like buscopan might ease a pain in the guts, for example. But I'm not going to look to my vitamin shelves and say, look, this probiotic is going to normalise your system, simply because I don't have the evidence that that is going to work for you. And as I say, I treat you like my best friend when you come into my pharmacy, and I will give you the sorts of things that I will take myself.
What's driving pharmacists then to reach for the probiotic?
There's several answers there, I think. Some pharmacists genuinely believe that the material that's coming out of the various vitamin pushes and so on is valid. I don't happen to share that view, and I would rather go off and get some independent advice on what works and what doesn't work. And I think that's where I differ from a lot of pharmacists. A lot of people will just believe what their suppliers tell them, put it on shelf, put it on display, and actually promote it. Whereas I think that a lot of the vitamin industry is, shall we say, the claims are exaggerated. The claims are, nowhere near, the validity that they should have. And I think the vitamin industry knows this. You know, they have a great problem with advertising cures for various things because they want to say that they've got a cure for this, but they keep running into problems with the TGA because it just simply isn't proven, and so they've got to rely on innuendo and all sorts of other means of getting their message across.
Well, we'll bring Dr. Treasure in here, and the Jelly Bean Lady, of course, is here as well as the instigator of all of this. But Dr. Treasure, have you got any questions then at Ian's level about how other pharmacists maybe around the country can be more forthcoming maybe in what might help?
I think that Ian's on the right track. We have a whole new, surge of interest in what we call evidence-based medicine. And it's not that we want to bag complementary medicines. In fact, I write monographs, textbooks on complementary medicines. Some of the strongest drugs in the world come from plant. Digoxin that people take for their heart comes from the foxglove plant. So it's not about whether it's synthetic or from a plant. It's does it work and is it safe? And if you can answer those questions, and that's really what I think Ian's trying to do, to give his patients the advice on the efficacy of these drugs, and if they work, they have the potential for side effects. And if you start to look at which products fulfill the characteristic of efficacy and minimal safety, then the number of products on your shelf start to diminish. And how many products do you have on your shelf, Ian?
I would like to just say, if I may at this point, though, that this business about complementary and orthodox is a very artificial division. I prefer to look at it as medicine on one hand that works, or medicine that has not been proven to work. And it's a very, very, once you take things down to that level, it's a very, very simple thing. The only thing that causes me a big problem as a professional is that somebody will come into the market one day and say, my concentrated kikuyu grass extract will cure arthritis. And it will take a scientist, perhaps 5 years to disprove that, or find that there's no evidence for it.
And I guess, Jelly Bean Lady, that's our challenge, isn't it?
It certainly is.
That we want the complementary medicines manufacturers to put their money where their mouth is.
Right, particularly because I'm a cancer survivor, I have to be incredibly careful about what I actually take into my body because, I'm counting the years now in the past 2 years, and I intend to go for another 28 years.
Are there any things out there that we may get in pharmacies? And you trust a pharmacy, don't you? I mean, you look at it, it's all clean and white, and you've got a professional in there. Is there anything that we might be taking that is so adverse to us that might produce something like a cancer?
Yes, I guess there.
What do you think, Ian, as well?
There are drugs that pose a carcinogenic risk, but hopefully we've captured and discarded most of those before they ever make it onto the market. In the pre-human testing, the animal testing, they check for tumours, carcinogens in 5 animal species, and if there's any evidence in one or more animal species, it just doesn't get off the ground. So we hope we capture most of those early.
But is it the combination of things sometimes that's dangerous?
Sometimes it is, yes. Mm. It's the combination. A simple thing like smoking. Mm. You know, we think that it's the nicotine that's the issue, but there's 4,000 other chemicals in the smoke that we breathe in. And the funny thing is, sometimes when you give up smoking, particularly if you're taking a range of other medicines, you turn off the enzyme, because you've been speeding up this enzyme when you've been smoking, you turn off some of the metabolic enzymes, and the other drugs that you're taking, their blood levels can elevate. So sometimes even when we're trying to be healthy, we can get into strife.
Just wanted to finally ask you, Ian, is this costing you business, your approach to your business?
Well, I must admit, I do not have the biggest vitamin section in town by any means. But, you know, just to that other point, I was just thinking that in many cases, there have been cases in recent years of adulterants being the problems, and not necessarily the major ingredients which have been tested for in vitamins and supplements, but adulterants, you know, like lead and all sorts of strange things that just turn up because we don't know the provenance of the actual raw material. So, but as I say, my vitamin section may not be big, but you know that when you come into my pharmacy that I will try and get you the best possible answer that I can about anything that you're trying to take with or without your medication.
Good on you. And our regards to Tari, and appreciate your time tonight.
Oh, we love talking to you. Thanks, Tari.
Thanks, Ian. Ian Carr there in Tari. An Aussie Country Town pharmacist. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know anyone like that? Is your pharmacist like that? Give us a call on 13 13 32. We'll come back with the Jellybean Lady and Dr. Treasure after this. Our telephone number 13 13 32, the Jellybean Lady, Loretta Marin, here in the studio with Dr. Treasure. And we're taking your calls on 13 32. We're talking about pharmacies. We're going to talk next about how we can clean them up, maybe, and change them around a little bit. But Ian from Northgate joins us now. Ian, good evening to you.
Yeah, good day, Tony. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Mate, I just listened to the ABC News and watched the ABC News. Now, I've clicked over, and I caught you in the tail end of the cancer bit, and I must admit, I gave up smoking successfully, so far so good, from the 6th of June this year. And I've never felt so better, and I love it. But there's one thing that really pees me off. It's the fact that I'm coughing all this crap. Okay, 43 years of smoking, I'm 53 years of age. I understand it's got to happen, like the body's got to adjust. But all this coughing is starting to really... crap that's coming out of my... Is that normal?
Hello, Ian. It's Treasure here.
Oh, that's the lady. I missed your name.
Yeah, Dr. Treasure and the Jellybean Lady, Loretta, is in the studio. So let's go over to Dr. Treasure.
Thank you.
Ian, do you take any other medicines?
No, apart from Nature B, of course.
Right. And you smoked for 40-something years.
Oh, 43 years. I'm 53 years now. I think I started when I was 10 years of age. Yes, okay.
If you actually think about how much tar, how much bits and pieces that have gone into your lungs over that period of time, it's not surprising that you're still coughing
a
little.
That's what I thought. At the same time, I thought, every morning I'm still coughing all this crap.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's the lungs repairing themselves.
Well, you can do things to ease it. Do you ever use lozenges, anything that contains...
No, it's just Nature B, that's all I use.
Yeah, well, you've got to think about soothing the area. So lozenges, honey, some of the natural remedies that we're talking about that do have some evidence, like good old-fashioned honey. Mild cough suppressants like Folcadine can help, and gradually it should improve over time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you've got to remember, you're still breathing in, if you live in a city, all sorts of pollutants from the atmosphere. So even if we give up smoking, we haven't sort of, you know, completely cleaned the airways.
Oh, but at least one thing I'm not doing anymore is wheezing like the lungs were used to.
That's right. And believe me, if we took you for surgery, you would be in a much better condition in terms of your lungs today than you were 6 months ago.
I sleep better of a night time. I can't believe... Tommy Rodonicus, I listened to him in the afternoon, on a Friday afternoon, he got out of smoking too, and when he said how he feels by giving it away, I think, hang on, mate, you're right. Mate, you just don't know how your lungs were and how they are now, how you sleep better of a night time.
That's right.
And you can't
fix things overnight. So hang in there, you're doing the right thing, and just mild, simple things to suppress the cough.
It's just all that crap that comes out your bloody...
You'll get there in the end, Ian.
Yeah.
That's the message.
Thanks, Danny.
All right, mate. Thanks for your call.
Appreciate your help.
Okay. Cheers now.
Bye-bye.
13 13 32, and we don't have to emphasise that message. I think they're doing another smoking thing now. I forget what is it? Whatever they do, they try and turn it around. But I was at the Melbourne Cup. I couldn't believe that. And there's a table of women beside me, seven of them, all smoked.
Yeah. Currently, it's young women.
It's terrible,
that
isn't
it?
I mean, you feel sad for it. Yeah. What do we do?
I think we've got to stop making it seem cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't even like it in the movies now. Like if I go to a movie and I see someone who, for effect, maybe smokes the whole time, I'm not as close to that character. I don't know whether you find that. But you know those people that smoke all the time? You think, oh, my God, now he's kissing her?
I love the science fiction movies because you rarely see them smoking in one of the spaceships. So, but I think any other type of movie... they're all puffing away, particularly old movies with Bette Davies and things like that. She did look cool. I'm afraid she really did.
That's right. All right, let's give something away. Well, turned around, there's a great film. I don't know whether Ralph Fiennes smokes in the Constant Gardener and Rachel White. It's a great new movie coming up. Now, the way we send you off to the movies is by calling 13 13 32. And this is Loretta's quiz. I guess the medieval herbal remedy. You know all about these. So do you want to start off? And as soon as you know, give us a call on 13 13 32.
Okay, then, folks, it's a vegetable. And Christopher Columbus was busy again in the 16th century. He got it from the Americas with quite a number of other great produce and brought it back to Spain. And here's an interesting one. It comes in blue, red, white, yellow, pink and black.
Is that enough information, do you reckon, or should we give some more? 13, 13, 32, if you know what it is.
I'll just give him a few more hints there, Tony.
Okay.
It's claimed to help prostate disorders, urethritis, bedwetting, obesity, gonorrhea and dropsy due to heart disease. And when it's combined with couch grass, they used to reckon that they could use it as a treatment for cystitis.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not with you now. I mean, I still don't know what this one is. 13, 13, 32, if you know what it is.
All right, it's used to make ethanol and used in such products as glue, shoe polish, aspirin, ink, marshmallows, ice cream and cosmetics. And in the antibiotics, baby food, condensed milk, fruit juice and even peanut butter.
That should be enough, shouldn't it?
Well, it's used in herbal shampoos.
Everything's in herbal shampoo.
Yeah, that's true, and it's used to make cat litter because when granulated it controls odours, it clumps well and it's flushable.
And the telephone number is 13 13 32. So you mentioned, I think one of the clues might have been, you said in ethanol, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a clue, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, could well be.
All right, let's see. 13 13 32. If you think you know the answer, then we might go to that straight away because there are plenty of calls coming in. Peter, on the mobile. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you going?
What do you reckon?
Is it tomato?
No, I'm afraid it's not tomato.
Oh, I'll try again. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Rob's also on the mobile. Hey, Rob, how are you tonight?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, thanks. What do you reckon it is?
Is it a potato?
No, it's not a potato, but it is a vegetable.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, Wayne at... where are you, Wayne? At Browns Plains.
Yeah, how are you, Tony?
Yeah, good, Wayne. Good. What do you reckon it is?
I think it's aloe vera.
Aloe vera is a wonderful herbal remedy, but I don't think that came from Spain in the 16th century.
Oh, it didn't. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night. Now, how long has aloe vera been around? Forever.
Oh, forever.
Okay. And what do you think, Val, at Aspley?
Sugarcane.
No, unfortunately, it's not sugarcane.
Okay. Oh, gee whiz, 13-13-32, trying to send some people to go and see The Constant Gardener. Maybe it's a herb garden. Starring Ralph Fiennes and Rachel Weisz. Opens in cinemas next Thursday. Two in-season passes, if you know what it is. Our telephone number, 13-13-32. What is the vegetable? A couple more hints, okay. Maybe.
Oh, well, it's often seen ripening in paddocks where crop circles mysteriously appear. You know, the ones that are thought to be caused by video camera avoiding aliens or mischievously talented plant crushing locals. And it's used to make bread.
It's used to make... Oh,
and here we go. Eaten in copious amounts by young, hungry movie goers. Sometimes salted, sometimes multicolored.
Oh, that's a huge clue.
That's sweet. It's an amazingly healthy, explosive food.
No more clues. All right. We'll come back with more. 30, 13, 32, if you know what it is.
We're talking Brisbane.
Brisbane's News Talk, 1160.
4BC.
Let's see if we get an answer to the vegetable. David at Parkinson. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you, Tony?
Good, thank you. What do you think it might be?
Wheat.
Oh, you're getting very, very close there, but not quite the right answer.
Thanks, David. Thank you. Oh, gee whiz, eh? And Wayne at Browns Plains. Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, Tony.
What do you think it is?
Yeast.
Yeast.
Oh, not, that certainly isn't the right answer.
No, it's not. Okay,
sorry. Thanks for your call. All right. And what about you, Brian, at Barton?
I think it's corn.
You reckon it's corn?
Oh, yep. I think he's got it exactly 100% right.
All
good
right,
on you. Enjoy the movie.
Fabulous.
You're off to see The Constant Gardener. Apparently it's a good flick, so hopefully you enjoy it. Just stay there and we'll get everything organised for you, Brian.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone who called, too. Just before we move on, Bobby from Caboolture's on the line. Bobby, good evening to you.
Good evening.
Now, we've got Dr. Treasure in here and Loretta, and how can they help you?
Well, actually, I was knowing that Loretta had cancer. I was just going to say about my sister. She had breast cancer some years ago. And unfortunately, she didn't go to the doctor. She went through all these fringe medicine people. She went to all sorts of people, kinesiologists, herbalists, and goodness knows what. And in the end, she died. And she was a fervent believer that these people could fix her.
Oh, that's incredibly sad, Bobby. I have a number of friends that with lung cancer that have gone to naturopaths. And they've told them that wheatgrass will cure them, and one just died 2 months ago. There is only one way to cure cancer, and that's the orthodox way, and we are losing far too many wonderful people because they're believing in all this quackery that's going on. It's incredibly sad. I'm really sorry for your loss.
Yes, well, it's a while ago now, but I still feel very sad about it. I feel quite angry, actually, that I wasn't able to get to her in time by the time I found out she'd actually got cancer. It was like a year down the track, and the thing was about the size of a chicken egg, so it was really no use.
Oh, that is so sad. I mean, a few weeks ago I read out an article by the name of Helen Crisside, who had gone to 25 natural therapists, and she got about 20 different diagnoses.
Yes.
For prices up to $9,000. These people are not medically trained. They're pseudo-medically trained. They may have dropped out at school at grade 10 for all we know. They certainly don't know physics and chemistry and maths and things like that.
Well, this one guy put her on a computer. He had bands around her head and bands around her ankles and her wrists. And he was he had this program in this computer, and this computer was supposed to be telling him what to do. I mean, a computer telling a man what to do, that's a bit crazy. And, you know, he was sort of saying, well, he's dissolving this cancer. From the outside, all the outside cells were going to die, and then the next week he was going to do it, and he was going to dissolve the next row of cells, and so on. And this went on for months, and she was paying something like about $100 for half an hour of this, and it was absolutely ridiculous.
I think that's called a Rife quantum generating machine. It was used in New Zealand on a baby with jawbone cancer. That baby died. It was also used in Australia by Reginald Fenn, who has been done for manslaughter. He, a little baby, 18 days old, he suggested to the parents that the baby not have heart surgery. He was going to cure it with this wonderful machine, and the baby died at 18 days. But that guy, in fact, we're getting more and more court cases on these things. Have you found there's more and more press about it, Dr. Treasure?
Yes, that's certainly true. And I think the message here is that if people offer you magic cures, ask for the evidence. Don't just believe, ask for the evidence, and then once you've got the evidence, you can weigh up yourself whether there's any substance to the claim.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I'd never go that way because I'm a sceptic anyway, but, yeah, my sister was a bit of a different story.
Appreciate your contribution, Bobby. Thanks for your call.
Right, thank you. Bye-bye.
So between now and next week, and hopefully you'll be able to come back again and join us, but as we look between now and next week, should we maybe just go through our cupboard and see what we've been talked into and have a bit of a stock take?
That's a really good idea. I mean, at the same time that you do that, you can check out what's expired that's been in there for 3 years and has died. So there's more than one reason for doing it. I think you'd find that if you went through that process, there'd be about 25% of what you had in your cupboard that there wasn't good evidence for. But having said that, there's probably three quarters of it that has some evidence.
So how would we sort of sort that out? Let's say you say, okay, I'm with you now. I've sort of retrained my brain a bit, and I want to just check to see which I should chuck and which I should keep. Who do you go to?
Well, that's the perfect role for your pharmacist. They can work through with you what the evidence is. And
you reckon you take all your pills up to your pharmacist and say, have a look at this, Jack?
Of course you can. That's
really
what they're there for. And they're waiting for you to do it.
Oh.
And I say that as a pharmacist.
Hey, Max, I'm coming.
My pharmacist stuck's behind the counter now because I come up with all the proof that some of his medicines don't work.
We'll do it again next week. Heard right around the world now, the Jelly Bean Lady, as you heard a bit earlier. And Loretta, thanks so much. And Dr. Treasure, thanks so much for coming in. We'll do it again next week, same time.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Hey, lots of music coming up. John Pierce on the way.